I speak to you in the name of the living God, blessed Trinity, and lover of your souls. Amen. Carol is the French word that means a dance accompanied by singing. The church has been caroling since its earliest years. Legend tells us that Roman Bishop Telesphorus in 129 CE decreed the first carol, that the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, be sung at Christmas service in Rome. And caroling only grew in church tradition. By the Middle Ages, Christmas had been celebrated in much the same way as we celebrate today. December 25th was the High Holy Day on which the birth of Christ was commemorated, and it kicked off an extended period of merriment lasting until Twelfth Night on January 5th. Churches held special services such as these. Businesses kept shorter hours. People decorated their homes with holly, ivy, and mistletoe. Acting troops put on comedic stage plays, as we will see this evening. Taverns were brimming with merrymakers, and families and friends came together to gorge themselves on special food and drink, including turkey, mince pies, plum porridge, and specially brewed Christmas ale. And communal singing, along with that ale, was all the rage. A group of waysailers went from house to house singing any number of the hundreds of English carols at their disposal during the 12 days of Christmas. But in the mid-1600s, the Puritans began their brief rule of England and began to fiercely reform the Anglican Church by ridding it of as much as they could of its Roman Catholic elements. They desired a godly society, a community of believers who lived, as Scripture puts it, a holy city on a hill. England was to be that beacon of light, led by strict charity, communal righteousness, visible godliness, and pure example. Which meant, of course, that during Christmastide, one very sinful act must end: the singing of Christmas carols. In mid-17th century England, the singing of such things as "Good Christian Friends Rejoice" was not only forbidden, but legally banned. Statesman Oliver Cromwell, who would soon become Lord Protector of England, Scotland, and Ireland, was on a mission to cleanse the nation of its most decadent excesses. On the top of the list were the festive trappings of Christmas. To Cromwell and his fellow Puritans, singing these carols was abhorrent alongside such sinful festivities as drinking Christmas ale. So on December 19th, 1643, an ordinance was passed encouraging subjects to treat the midwinter period, and I quote, "with the more solemn humiliation, because it may call to remembrance our sins and the sins of our forefathers, who have turned this feast, pretending the memory of Christ, into an extreme forgetfulness of him by giving liberty to carnal and sensual delights." By 1644, an act of Parliament had officially banned Christmas, alongside other joyful church celebrations such as Easter and Pentecost. Christmas was officially illegal in England for more than a decade. Celebrating on Christmas was forbidden, and singing Yuletide songs became a political act of resistance. Needless to say, the Puritans' prohibition of Christmas proved very unpopular. Pro-Christmas rioting broke out. Yes. Like the famous Canterbury Christmas Riot of 1647, which escalated into the Second English Civil War. So, how is it that you and I are here in the Episcopal Church, part of the Anglican Communion, singing carols on the fourth day of Christmastide? Well, the truth is, carols never really stopped being sung. When Christmas was banned, religious services went underground, and continued to be held in secret, where people continued to sing. And in 1660, when the English monarchy was restored, not only had the popular Christmas carols of previous eras served triumphant, but interest in them was renewed with passion. Both the 18th century and Victorian periods were golden eras in carol writing, producing many of the treasures we know and love today, including O Come All Ye Faithful and God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. In the 1870s, books of carols were published, and in 1880, the Right Reverend Edward White Benson, Bishop of Truro, conducted the first formal service of the 9 lessons in carols on Christmas Eve. Now, like the Puritans before him, the bishop was concerned with the excessive consumption of alcohol in the Cornish pubs during the festive season. But instead of canceling Christmas, as Cromwell had done, Bishop Benson decided to open wide the doors of the church and give people an alternate place to gather and sing in merriment. And alongside the singing, he dispersed 9 lessons meant to tell the story of salvation history from creation to Jesus' birth, as we did today, now with 7, starting with Genesis, the story of how sin entered the world, moving through the Old Testament prophets pointing to a Savior, and concluding with the Gospels, the Annunciation and birth story, finally ending with John's retelling of the beginning. Jesus is not only born to us today, Jesus has been with us from the start. Lessons and Carols was a huge hit with over 400 people in attendance at its first showing, and it continues to be a part of Christmastide today. So why are you here? Certainly, it's not an alternate to a pub crawl for you at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. According to the director of music at Clare College, Cambridge, you're likely here because Christmas carols are powerful. Christmas carols bring people together, he writes. It's one of the few times in the year that people stop what they're doing, spend time with one another, sing together, and celebrate. Communal singing of well-known carols offers an immediate connection across cultures and languages, putting aside any political backgrounds and bringing together a group of people for sheer enjoyment. Nowadays, he writes, there aren't many things that can do that. Music analytics tell us today that Christmas is a rare monocultural music movement, where listeners spread across different streaming platforms, social media platforms, are all listening to the same tunes. With new artists singing old songs, because, and I quote, it's not easy to break into the holiday canon. Because even banning the songs doesn't stop the church from singing them year after year. Almost 4 centuries since clandestine Christmas caroling, we still gather joyfully to remind the world that the top 40 songs aren't really the most beloved songs of the year. The music of the church's Christmas carols top even the lyrics of Taylor Swift's newest album. Perhaps today, joy is still a political act of resistance. Or as we are about to sing the old, old story, good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. He hath opened heaven's door, and we are blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this.